This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Welcome back, Nation. Segments brought to you by Soda. That's state of the art. And it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Yeah, Spain scored. It was an own goal by Italy. Got defender tracking back towards his own goal, ricocheted right off his leg and into the back of the net. So Spain leads Italy 1-0 their 66th minute. Here's Woolchuck with a proper college football super segment.
Oh, we are getting so close to the return of college football as our college football super fan. You can't spell college football without Carter Freeman.
It's true.
Let's go, baby. He's in the building! He's going to join us for this. Now, TCU unveiled some new unis. These things look sick. They've got all white, all purple, all black. They've returned the chrome helmet design as well. They've got some unique spikes around the jersey shoulders, which once separated TCU's uniforms from others across the country. They look pretty sweet. I don't know what you think about TCU chances, though, in the Big 12 this year, Carter.
Well, the Big 12 on the whole is just really interesting because you're losing the two powerhouses, and with the teams below them in recent years, it's been kind of up and down who's going to be the team to challenge them, right? Like it was Kansas State a couple years ago, it was Oklahoma State last year, it was Baylor the year before in 2021, so... it's TCU's kind of between a rock and a hard place right now, just with going from a almost undefeated season to a not even making a bowl last year. But with the transfer portal, it's so hard to really pin down who you think is going to be like a contender in this league. But as far as those uniforms go, they do look good. I always thought TCU was one of the few teams that could really pull off the Oregon style, like having multiple different combinations every week. So I'm a little sad to see those go. I always liked the black and purple that they were rocking with most weeks.
Some of these are a clean look, but I do. TCU's always had good jerseys, in my opinion. Now, this was interesting. So Snoop Dogg has announced that the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl is going to be the first bowl to provide NIL deals for all players. So there are some that think maybe collectively, the bowl games can come together. You offer NIL incentives to ensure that potentially you don't have as many opt-outs, because we've seen how the opt-outs have just been an issue across the bowl season, made some of these bowl games like, these are tune outs for me now. I mean, Florida State was a shell of themselves in that game against Georgia because all of their top talent decided we're not going to play in a New Year's Six bowl game. But if there's NIL incentives, there's money involved and tied in here for these players to play, maybe that's a way to keep them from opting out.
Yeah, and that particular game, the Arizona Bowl, is usually a group of five bowl game. It's usually like Western Kentucky versus Toledo, right? You're not getting like a TCU versus a Stanford or, you know, power program teams. But to that regard, we're also going to see this with the 12-team playoff. You're having more teams that are actually playing for something as opposed to just a funny-looking trophy, a Pop-Tart you can eat, like a giant Pop-Tart you can eat, like in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. So I think the college football has done a good job on multiple levels of providing reasons to play in these games.
Yeah, and I mean, to me, I think, Brian, this could be a good idea.
Yeah, man, they've got to do something, though, to try and help these bowl games. And the problem that the bowl games are dealing with, too, is because of the playoff schedule and stuff like that, some of these games are having to move around. Like,
yes.
Yeah, and you've had some bowl games that have kind of played on some traditional days. And now with the playoff system the way it is, they're trying to get there's some bowl games that are trying to get ahead of the actual playoff. Matter of fact, they moved the Army-Navy game. Which it was always.
It used to be solo. Yeah, no other always, game being played. Not anymore.
Well, I was going to say they didn't move it. They just added bowl games around it, right? Because it's the same weekend. You're just going to have the postseason same time.
It used to be the Army-Navy game would be the same day as the conference championship games, if you remember that.
Okay, so it was the week prior.
It's no longer a standalone game.
No longer stand. So
which is sad.
Yeah, it's unfortunate with that.
Is it, though? I mean, the pomp and circumstance is great, but watching that game is, and I love college football. I watch all four quarters, but it can be an ugly game.
Well, it just gives you an example, though, if it can move a game, a historic game. The talent level, we can all say what we want about the talent level, But those guys are trained to die before they lose.
Yeah.
You know, that's their...
It's a special game.
That is a special game for that way. But that just shows you right there, you know, this fact that the Army-Navy game, which has been played, you know, hundreds of years, not hundreds, but, you know, 100 years, you know, that's
maybe kind even
of,
thousands, millions.
That kind of... For it to have to move around, I think, is kind of unfortunate.
Well, and that was a lot of the hemming and hawing with the 12-team playoff, too, is the Rose Bowl wouldn't agree to it because they were dead set on the time that they and day they wanted to play. And they finally gave in, and, you know, we have the 12-team playoff now.
If you want the money, you better play it on this day.
Right, and they want the money.
And the ratings are going to be there no matter what.
They will. It's the granddaddy of them all.
I saw where people, circling back about the Big 12, I saw where people were picking West Virginia to potentially win the Big 12.
They had a nice season last year. They were a couple games away from being like 7-0 to start that season. They end up, I believe, 9-4. They beat a North Carolina team that a lot of people liked in the Duke's Mayo Bowl last year because we got to see their head coach get drenched in mayo after that game. But they returned their starting quarterback who's been there a couple years. He knows Troy Brown's or Neil Brown, their head coach's system. Yeah,
right.
And the North, like we're saying, it's kind of a different team every year that's really stepped up to be a contender to be the top dog in that league. And West Virginia's never really been that since they've joined the Big 12. So that'd be kind of fun in my mind if they were to finally take that step and contend for a conference title.
How about Arizona with their situation?
Arizona's going to be an interesting team. I mean, they got the best receiver in the country.
Didn't they have a freshman quarterback that was really played?
They have one I would call, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on his name, Noah Fifita. He's going to be probably a top 10 quarterback in college football this year.
Yeah.
Their issue is they lost Jed Fish, their head coach, to Washington. If they had kept that together, because they smoked my Sooners in the Alamo Bowl last year for 6 turnovers. But they're going to be good. I just wonder with their new head coach, who is Brent Brennan from San Jose State. Mm-hmm. I wonder first year head coach at that school, first year in the new league, if that's there might be a little time they need to take to take the next step.
Shout out to Wes Welker. He will be joining the Texas Tech Ring of Honor this upcoming season after he was one of the better receivers during the Mike Leach era, 2003. Tech's all-time receiving leader with 3,069 yards through the program's receiving record, and it's been broken twice since then.
Yeah.
He also has the career for punt return yardage, totaling 1,761. So Wes Welker, wreck him. He's going to be going into the Ring of Honor there. Now, we go over to Texas, who's now in the SEC. They just got themselves a quarterback commit for 2026. They're doing a good job of stacking these up because when Quinn leaves, they'll have Arch ready to go. Now they've got Dia Bell, who is the son of former NBA star and Dallas Maverick, Rajah Bell. He is the number 4 quarterback in the 2026 recruiting ranks, and he is the second commit in Texas for this quarterback cycle. So they're lining themselves up some quarterbacks. You got any fear, Dia Bell? Future of the Texas Longhorns there, Mr. Sooner?
I think he's got to worry about his math classes that he's got coming up before I need to worry about him as a quarterback. Is class 2026, so this is 2 years away?
He's got to go ahead and make sure he just passes high school.
We got to see Arch on the field first, right?
We want to see Arch on the field first.
I want to see him actually play like meaningful football at the college level before I'm even scared of him.
Mm. Here's Sark talking about the NIL. He had a great sit-down over the weekend, and I like listening to Joel Klatt, but the interview with Sark I thought was awesome. Both of them talked about the sobriety. I didn't realize Joel Klatt has also been sober for like 15 years now. So we know about Sark and his battles that he dealt with alcoholism, but he was talking about the NIL, and this is what Sark had to say. Do you like his pitch here, or is it still always just comes back to the money for these players?
Our kind of perspective on this and our approach to this is we've got an amazing product here. The history and tradition of Texas football is second to none. The education, the quality of education at UT is incredible. The coaching staff we have, the development of our players, the trajectory of what we've done from year 1 to year 2 to year 3 of our program, the city of Austin, all these things that we're talking about, that's why I want you to come to the University of Texas. NIL doesn't come up. That should be the last reason to choose to go to a school, whether it's Texas or any other school. Because if you take players predicated off of NIL, that you want them so bad that you're willing to go to whatever length and whatever degree to get that kid from an NIL perspective, of course that's what he's going to talk about the very next year when you bring him into your office. And so we try to create a culture that is a little bit different that way. I think we've got a healthy NIL program here. Our Texas One Fund is fantastic. But I got a lot of players that could probably go to another school and make more money. But I think we've created a culture that they like being part of.
I appreciate the coach saying that. I disagree with him, though.
Yeah, I do, too.
Yeah. This is, look,
he's trying to sell it as, like, listen, we're not, we don't act like it's more about the program than it is about the funds. And I give the University of Texas a lot of credit because they are willing to step up and pay what they have to pay. You look at their facilities. He's right about the school. He's right about all those things, Austin. But that they're now dealing with kids that will only visit you if you give them $5,000. And that's just on a visit. And then you got, you know, moms and dads meeting with the coaching staff and say, okay, well, how much money are you going to give my kid? You know, that's the conversation. So he could sell it as there being, you know, that's the last thing we're dealing with. But in reality, he's got more money than anybody in the country when it comes to this stuff.
I mean, that's good stuff to tell your parents of kids, you know. Yeah. But I think for your alumni want to hear, we're in this NIL yeah. thing, and yeah. we're fighting fire with fire. We ain't right. backing down from this.
Nope.
Especially in the SEC now.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and you're fighting with all the big dogs.
Yeah, and it's not – I don't think he's saying that we're not going to be playing the game here. I mean, they just were doing the visits where they hosted a bunch of kids and they were walking through the tunnel of Lamborghinis and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it's not like they're just punting on the idea. He's absolutely playing the game here. And I understand. Yeah, he's trying to frame it to where even aside from NIL, you would still want to be here. But he knows he's got a pony up, and he has. I mean, Arch Manning's making a freaking buttload of money.
Yeah, he is. And then finally, Urban Meyer, Jim Tressel. Oh, man, they're turning up the pressure here. Ryan Day, who I already think is on the hot seat. But here is what two former national championship Ohio State Buckeye coaches had to say about this Ohio State roster.
But as of now, this is one of the most talented rosters in the last decade, maybe ever. I mean, that's a big statement. They got to play, but you look at the quality of athlete at every position, I've never seen anything like it.
And I don't know if I've ever seen that many great players in that building all at once. Every position, every place you turned. And so Ryan's done a great job. Ohio State has done a great job.
Man, national championship or bust for Ryan Day. All that talent there in Columbus.
It's insane that a coach who is 56-8 in his 5 years at that school is on the hot seat. But when three of those losses are to Michigan in the last 3 years, yeah. that'll do that to you. And yes, this roster is incredible. Like, they got Quinshon Judkins, an incredible running back from Ole Miss, to transfer there. Yeah. They picked up the top recruit in this last recruiting class, Jeremiah Smith. He's a wide receiver. He wears number 4, which just aesthetically does not look good on a receiver to me. That kid is going to be a beast. He's the next Marvin Harrison Jr. He is the next Chris Olave. He's the next Jackson Smith and Jigba. Like, that kid's going to be awesome. I still have questions at quarterback because they got Kansas State's Will Howard to most likely be their starter.
That should be good for this year. He should be a good player.
Yes. Is he a championship quarterback, though?
Fair question.
I mean, he hasn't proven to be, but
he won a Big 12 title at Kansas State. I've got to give him that. But winning that Big 12 is a lot different than winning a ginormous Big 10 with big dogs like Oregon and a reformed Washington. And, of course, the defending national champion Michigan in there. Yeah.
There he is, Carter Freeman.
Thank you, guys.
The college football flamingo, as you can see right here on the webcam.
I do love
beautiful
the shirt.
Flamingo tee.
It's one of my favorites.
There it is. Okay, coming up next here, G-Bag Nation, what do we got, Chief?
Restroom revelations, Pringles, pranks, and new man cave options next here in the nation.